Amen. And thank you to the worship team. That was sweet. The kids, that was awesome. Right? That was good. Really good. Church is good. God is good. Amen? I enjoy this God stuff. I enjoy how he blesses us and meets with us and touches us. And you just never know where that's going to come from. And but we set up an atmosphere, set up a setting, right? Where we come together, we sing songs to him, and we enjoy the fellowship of one another and let the Holy Spirit move, and stuff's going to happen. You're going to feel it, and it's going to be good. So praise God for that. Well, today we are going to continue talking about forgiveness. I hope that in the course of maybe this last week, you had some opportunity to look into your heart and see if there were any places there where you needed to release somebody or forgive them and let go of them for anything that they might have done that offended you or hurt you to a greater or lesser degree. I know that the sermon itself, as I went through it, of course, I'm doing the teaching, right? I'm saying this is the stuff. But I really felt the Lord lift something off of me in the course of the preparation for the message and on Sunday. And I'm not even sure exactly what that was, but I just felt lighter. I felt lighter, like I wasn't carrying something that I had been carrying. And it reminded me of a time when I was in Catholic seminary, and I had just started, I was on a retreat to go into Catholic seminary to become a priest, and we had to go to confession. Well, the last time I had been to confession, I was like 8 years old, and I made stuff up just to make it look good for the priest. You know, I thought, right? Like I didn't want him to think I was just not being honest and chase me down and say, hey, kid, I know you got more sin than that. I wanted to, so I actually increased the numbers of things, the times I hit my sister or lied to my mom, whatever it was. You've got to make it good. And that was the last time I'd been to confession. So now here I am in my first year of college. There's a lot of life lived there, folks. A lot of life took place in me, and starting in junior high school and high school and college. And it was like, so I was going to go to confession. And I go in there because I'm used to the little booth, right? You go in, there's a booth, there's a little screen, and the guy's on the other side. And, you tell your sins and he gives you absolution and gives you an assignment of, three Hail Marys and four Our Fathers and an act of contrition, and you're good to go. So I go into this room, and it's this monk sitting there in a chair. And he just had the sweetest look on his face. He's like little cookie jar monk, that he just smiles and it's nice. I went in and I thought, I can't do this. I can't look at him. I can't look at this guy. He's a little pure life. He's got a pure heart. I can't do this. And then I got to go to confession, but I can't do it. And I sit down and he says like, hello. And I say hello. And it's like the electricity went out in the building. Boom. Just right then, the entire building, the electricity went out. Pitch black, dark. And I just said to myself, go for it. Go for it. And I just did that. I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. And I just laid it all out, man. 10 years of all my stuff. And then when, honestly, I don't even have to make this up. This was amazing. And as soon as I was done, the electricity came back in the building. And I'm looking at this guy's face after I've told him all stuff, and he's still just smiling, just like he always was. I thought he'd be like, oh, I'm out of here. And he just, and then he pronounces, he says to me, and it's really interesting, you guys, as a Protestant, I confess my sins directly to Jesus. But I also confess to other people sometimes, hey, I want to sit down, I want to share this with you, it's something I did, or if it offended them or not. But when he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Bam. It was real, man. It just hit me. It's like, that's for real. The monk said so, right? But there was something about that spiritual dynamic. I walked out of there feeling so light, and like this, that like I didn't realize that I had been carrying an incredible burden that suddenly was taken off. It's like carrying a backpack with 50 pounds of weight, and you just get used to the fact that you've got it on, and you don't think about it anymore. But then when you take it off, you feel like, whoa, and that's how I felt. There is a weightiness to sin. There is a weightiness to unforgiveness, and it's important for us to realize that forgiveness is an important spiritual principle that Jesus made sure that he talked about over and over and over again. Like I said last week, we just prayed that. Forgive us our sins or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He put it in a prayer that had very few items in it. The Lord's Prayer has very few items, but one of those items is that we forgive others the way we are asking God to forgive us. And I know that there's a connection sometimes that we make between unforgiveness and making our, like it's a poison in us that hurts us more than the person that we're not forgiving, and that's all true. But there's something more than that, because Jesus never lifted that particular point up. He never connected unforgiveness with a physical effect to your body. He went to it over and over and over and over again for another reason. And if we don't get that reason, right? I mean, I think the other one's true. Because I saw that woman in prison that I told you about last week who had a rash and who was harsh and her countenance and everything. And when she gave her life to Christ, I did not recognize her. She changed that much physically. But Jesus is after something else in this, and that is what we talked about last week, the insurmountable debt that I have been given grace for. God has paid off my debt. God has died for my sins. God has wiped all those sins off of me. How dare I not then do that for someone else? It's an offense to him. And we have to grasp that. Now, where we're going to go this week, because it's a two-part thing, is I'm going to relook at some of these prophetic words. Now, back up. In the beginning of January, we had our days of dedication in which we stop, drop, and pray. And we fast and we ask God, speak to us, Lord, because you said, my sheep hear my voice. You are a lamb of God. You're one of his little lambies. He is saying about you. He's saying, Anna Maria, you hear my voice. Daryl, you hear my voice. Cindy Ann, you hear my voice. And it's like, we do? I do? Yeah, you do. Listen. Hear the voice of God. Some of you heard it while we were worshiping today. Some of you heard God speaking to you and reminding you of something. Kelsey, you heard it. You said, like, sitting back on the couch in the arms of God. That's him speaking to his little lamb, saying, this is what it is. So when we listen to the voice of God as a church, we say, God, speak to us as a church, and then we hear all sorts of things that come in, and you have to kind of just bring it all in, and let some things just kind of float to the surface and see what those are and process those and think about them, because if we ask God to speak to us and he did, we need to do something with that, okay? So that's what we're doing. That's what we're in the process of doing. We're doing something with what we asked him to give us. We said, God, would you give us your voice and speak to us as a church? He said, yes, and he spoke to us, and now we're saying, okay, what does this mean? So forgiveness, I want to repeat some of the prophetic words about forgiveness, because they seem to be more than just your personal forgiveness of somebody who's offended you, and they seemed to apply to a church body as a whole, needing to let go of something. Okay? So, let me just, we heard the main thing that we heard from over and over again in those days of dedication, fasting and praying and listening, was Isaiah 43:18-19. Forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. And there was something about that that had some real power to it, some real grip to it, some real sense of God is saying something to us as a church body, that there's something we, as Bradley Epworth, need to forget the former things, things that have happened prior, and don't dwell on those things, because look, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do a new thing. Now it's springing up. Can you see it? Do you get it? Something new's happening. Can you see it? Not if you're holding on to the things of the past. You're not going to see it. You're going to miss it. I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. My spirit, my movement, my presence is coming to a place that hasn't been touched or blessed. And it may be something in you, but it may be something in the church. And it may be something in the church, the capital C, the big church, the church of Jesus throughout the world. And we don't want to miss it because we keep looking at the past and saying we're supposed to do it this way. We're supposed to do it this way. Let's go back to that. It's because God's doing something new and he wants us to get it by not having our mind and eyes clouded up by continually looking at something else when he's saying, no, I'm doing something new. Can't you see it? Okay. So that's where we're going. The person, Barb, who shared this passage with us the next morning, went to her devotional, opened it up, and it was this text that God had put before her in her devotional. She didn't know that. Another prophetic voice speaking into our church said, this is what I hear for Bradley Epworth. Stop letting your past ruin your future. Forgive. Move on. Strengthen the foundation. You were made with a definite purpose. Find that again and strengthen resolve to be who God made you to be. Someone else said, Philippians 3, 13 through 14, forgetting what is behind and straining on toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Someone else spoke to us, not knowing any of this was going on, and said, I am getting Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, new beginnings and new wineskins for Bradley Epworth. Someone else, another prophetic voice said, I see you guys as a book that God's taking off of his shelf, but it's empty. There's nothing written in it because I believe the next chapter is not to be compared to any of the last volumes and copied, but to be experienced afresh. Someone else, a prophetic voice said, I get that one thing for people at Bradley Epworth to look at is forgiveness, to lay down whatever questions they might have, whatever unforgiveness they might have toward anyone, past or present, that they haven't yet forgiven, and they need to let go of that. I feel like there are so few things left. God is working and waiting until they're all laid down. And someone else, another prophetic voice, sent this. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And those are the words that we put together and we say, okay, God, we ask you to speak to us. Here are the words that we've heard. What do we do with that? Number one, we talked about last week. Dear ones, you must go into your heart and you must forgive and release and let go of people who have hurt you and offended you. And we talked about that. I just have to recommend that you listen to the message just because it gives a better outline of that. But we always begin not with the emotions, but with the will. If you wait for your emotions to be in that place where I really want to forgive, I feel it, I feel forgiving, you may never get there. You have to start with your will, where your will says, God, I know that you're asking this of me. I know that you've forgiven me so much that I owe this, and I want to do this. My emotions aren't there yet, okay? But my will is, and I want to step into that first. And then just begin to follow that. Now, here we have something different, and I really have to tell you that I kept going back to the Lord over and over again and say, okay, how do we apply that to a corporate setting? And what is exactly are you after, God, here in this situation of Bradley Epworth? And I eventually got to a text in the book of Acts, and I want to read it to you because I think it will help guide us about how we process differences within the church and the separate paths that people take that sometimes can become very hurtful or feeling rejecting of ourselves. Okay? And that's what I want to step into today. Because I feel like that's the thing that God has kind of put his finger on. I didn't share one of the prophetic words because I felt it was more to me than to the church. But this prophetic voice said, I feel like there's an elephant in the room at Bradley Epworth. And he said, and I feel like it's a tension that no one wants to really talk about. He said, pray about that. See what the Holy Spirit tells you. Thanks a lot. Put that on you, you know, and say, you figure it out. But let's look in Acts chapter 15, verse 36. It's a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. And Barnabas wanted to take John, who is also called Mark, with them. But Paul didn't think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement. Now, the Greek for that term, sharp disagreement, is variously translated as a real blowout, conflict. So we can look at that and say, okay, this was not just I disagree with you. This was, no, they really had a sharp disagreement. And it was so bad that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So what we have here, well, first of all, who do you think was right? I mean, Mark, we'll call him John Mark, wasn't it? Mark deserted them. He's a young man. He was going with them, and he decided, we don't know what his reasons were. We have no clue what his reasons were. And Paul is ticked off about it. No, he can't be trusted. No, I'm not going to take him with me. He needs to, whatever, right? I'm not going to risk the mission on this guy who's already proved to be somebody who's inconsistent, unreliable. No. So Barnabas is over here, you know, saying like, well, now, wait a minute. He's a young man. I mean, yeah, he's an awesome, you know, disciple, and maybe this is what he needs. He needs us to, you know, take him along, and I think he'd be great for this. And Paul, I don't get why you're so upset about it. No, this isn't right. Yeah, it is. And then they came to blows. Well, it wasn't physical. I assume. But who had it right? And so let's look at that. We're going to return to this, but we're going to find out who was right. Okay? So hold on. You got to listen to the sermon. you got to stay plugged in here. We're going to get there. But right now, let's walk through how that same situation can take place within a church. When this church, located here in this building, they built it in 1953. They came from High Street, Main Street and High Street. There's an old church there with it's beautiful stained glass windows that have fallen apart. And in fact, somebody just purchased it recently. It was in the Journal Star. They're going to rehab it and bring it back to life. And that was the original church building of this church. And it was Hale Memorial Methodist Church. And in 1953, they decided that they would move from that building over here to be close to Bradley campus have a ministry to young people and change the world, right? Not everyone wanted to do that. Not everyone wanted to move over here. Now we're here now, and so we say, well, I don't know what was wrong with those people, because this is a great move, right? But at the time, those people were in a building that had extremely beautiful stained glass windows, beautiful ornate wood. It overlooked the valley. You know, it overlooks, it's right at the top of Main Street Hill, so it overlooks all the downtown, right? And there was opposition and there were people who did not move over here. There was no church left. The whole church moved over, but some people went elsewhere. Who was right? When people then moved here, when the Methodist Church and the Evangelical United Brethren Church merged together in the late, like around 1970, there was a church over by Bradley Campus, Bradley Avenue Evangelical United Brethren Church. And they all of a sudden found themselves to be in the same denomination as this one. And they started having services together. And in 1972, those people picked up and left their church and their church building and came over here to combine to make their church was called Bradley. This church was called Epworth. And that's how we get our name, Bradley Epworth Church. Not everybody came. Some people went elsewhere. Who was right? As we move through our history and we get to a more up to date with us and my being here, there was a time in our church when our sanctuary was completely full. We had one service at 10 o'clock. Hi, David. Bless you.
I want to destroy the enemy so bad.
All right, bless you, buddy. You go destroy the enemy. That's what he said. He's going to destroy the enemy. God bless him. Lord bless David. Go with him and make sure he doesn't get into any trouble destroying the enemy. And you protect him and you bless him and you use him for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And this church began growing to the point where we couldn't contain it anymore in our service, and we wanted to start a second service that was contemporary in its nature. And I'll tell you what, my goodness, was that an explosion. Talk about opposition, right? People would say, you know, things like, well, you're dividing us up. We're not going to be the church family anymore. Why can't we just stay together? And those were legitimate, you know, concerns and desires. It happened anyway. Then we got too big in the contemporary service, so we started meeting at the Ramada Inn. And that, again, was a sense of some people leaving because of that. We lost our choir director, and we lost our organ. We still have the pipes, but we don't have the console anymore because the bill to fix the organ was going to be $150,000 to repair it, and so we just decided that wasn't an expense that we could do, and so it just was left. And then one time we took out the pews, those nice chairs you're sitting in, there used to be pews, and people left the church because of that. There have been a lot of things over the years that we've seen have caused people to say, like Paul and Barnabas, I can't go that way. I can't go that way, all right? Now, you may think you're following God, but I don't think you are. And I'm going to go this. I had a lady say to me one time about the screen, the first time we had the screen. She said, if that screen is here next week, I am leaving this church. The next person said to me, hey, if you guys are going to keep doing that screen, I'm going to make this my church home. So I was like, okay. The screen stayed. She came back. She stayed here till she died. But there's always these opposing forces of like, I think this is the way God wants us to go, and I just don't feel like it is. And now we've got conflict. And the problem with conflict is that it can get hurtful, and we can end up wounding each other in the process. Now, I don't know to what extent Paul hurt Barnabas's feelings by things he said, or Barnabas hurt Paul's feelings by the thing he said, or Mark got his feelings hurt by the fact that they're arguing about this, but I suppose there was some of that. I suppose there was at least some offense in the fact that you don't think I'm hearing from God. Barnabas, Paul, right? So something's always there. Something's always stirring in our hearts whenever we have conflicts like this. But here, and so the last thing that I want to lift up to you, which may be more at the nub of what these prophetic words were about, is that Bradley Epworth grew under a very enthusiastic worship experience of people in the front dancing, waving flags. We're talking adults. It was full up here. We had people sitting in the lobby every Sunday because we couldn't fit everybody in here. We had two services. The people were discovering a freedom in Jesus that they hadn't known. And they were really just like, this is the most wonderful place because I just feel free. I can dance. It's the first time I've danced in church in years, but it's how I connect to God. And I finally found a place where that can happen, a safe place for that to take place. And people were discovering prayer ministry, the service. We never knew what the service was really going to do because sometimes I wouldn't even preach. We'd just pray for people we'd ask people who want prayer and everyone would get, the whole place would be filled with people getting prayer. And all of these things were happening. And it was wonderful. It was awesome. We had an early service that was more subdued, but still spirit-filled, and it all was just great, you guys. Bible-based, Christ-centered, spirit-filled. And then it started changing. It just wasn't as enthusiastic. Some people started leaving. And as people left, some of the most enthusiastic ones left, it subdued the feeling in the room. And the feeling that it was subdued then began to cause other people to feel like, oh, I don't know if it's still here. And the thing that I need, every 7 days, I need to come and get in that presence of God and that feeling and that joy and all of that stuff, right? And it's like, I had people in my office weeping. Pastor Tom, what's happened? Where is it? People leaving for all sorts of reasons. Some of them were sent to other states for their jobs, and it took out a big chunk of our church. And at the same time, we had our days of dedication. We asked God to speak to us, and we really felt God saying, open the doors. I want to come in, and I want to talk to your church. And we felt that when he came in to talk to our church, he said, I really want you guys to lay a firm foundation. All this is great, but lay a firm foundation in Bible and outreach and evangelism. You know, make sure your foundation is right. Make sure your teaching is right. Make sure you're solid. You know, it wasn't to say, no, don't do this anymore, but it was to say, let's emphasize these things so that we can build a strong foundation to support it all. And there just was a... So, bottom line, as people started drifting out, it was just, and I'm filling all of you in. As people started drifting out, there was a church that was just starting in town that was everything they wanted. It was like, this church said, we're going to go for that. We're going to be all those things. And it was great, and it's wonderful, and it's like, praise God. But people say, hey, you know, it feels like it's just kind of not happening at Bradley Epworth anymore. Check this church out, and it's great, and it's there. And in the process of all of that, there were some things that, you know, somebody called me one morning and said, hey, Tom, I'm over here at this other church, and there's like, I counted 50 people from Bradley Epworth over here. So, oh, it's great to hear. Thank you. Yeah. It was like, okay. And what happens, though, what happens in the process of all that, you guys, is that, okay, maybe the elephant in the room is that something really shifted at Bradley Epworth. And some of you new folks would say, oh, I would never have known that, and this is a necessary message. But something shifted, and we have to say so. We got to say so. It was different. And people were getting their souls touched, blessed, filled. And they were good people. Really good people. And that's the first thing I think God wants us to grab hold of. We're not talking, Barnabas wasn't a bad guy. You know what I mean? mean, we could say that because Paul wrote all the letters, so maybe he's got a little more weight spiritually, you know, so Barnabas must have been wrong. I don't know about that. I do not know about that. Hang on till the end. But these were not bad people. And you know, listen, here's the thing. When you have people who just couldn't, you know, they said, I just can't go with what's happening, Pastor Tom, what's happening? Do something. Right? Do something. I'm losing something very precious. My connection with God, how precious is that? How important is that? Now listen, you know, they are actually in the process of grieving something very precious to them. These people who love Jesus and whose connection with Jesus is really the major thing of their life. The major passion of their life is Jesus. Okay? And they're grieving that loss. I can't make anything happen, okay? I can't make this happen. I can't. I mean, if this is, I didn't make the wave come in the first place. And when the wave is receding, I can't stop it. I didn't make it. I can't stop it. I'm just here to love Jesus every Sunday like I always have been. But I do know that we have to get into the Bible and we have to get into outreach and we have to do all these things because it's got to be a complete picture, you guys. And it's like, come on, come on, come on, come on. Nobody's turning the Holy Spirit out. But then you got to hear things like, the anointing has left Bradley Epworth. And that hurt. And then it also hurt to say, okay, no matter what's going on, I thought we were friends. Like, I thought we were family. I thought, like, right, like, it's like, yeah, but if I can't get, I mean, yeah, it's not like, I'm not like being unfaithful to you, Tom, or to Bradley Epworth, but I've got to be faithful to Jesus, and I've got to follow him, and if this is it, I had people weeping in my office saying, we love Bradley Epworth so much, but we love you, Pastor Tom, but, and it's like, I bless you. I really, you know, I bless you. Go follow where you need to go. Now, here's the thing, you guys. I think as a church, I think we got hurt, and I think we're still a little. Some of us who were part of that are still a little bit hurt, in feeling just rejected and criticized, because if the Holy Spirit left us, we must have done something wrong. And you got to start with the pastor, right? That's the implication. That's the implication. I'm sorry. I mean, that's the implication. You would imply that. And you say, you know what? You know what? Paul and Barnabas, I think you both were hearing from God. Well, how can you both hear from God and go in different directions? Because God wanted two things out of that. He actually wanted Barnabas to take Silas with him and go to Crete. And he wanted Paul, or was it Paul? Anyway, Paul, and to go to Cyrene. And he wanted two different things out of it. But there's still some more of that picture that's not quite here. And we're going to talk about that. But here's the thing. Is that when... Yeah, so some things hurt, right? But you know what, you guys? We'd never criticize someone's expression of grief. If I go into a hospital room where someone's just lost their loved one, and they say that, and I say, oh, I'm so sorry. And they say, sorry, why? You didn't do anything. What is that supposed to mean? Why are you even here? Why don't you get out? Do I criticize that? No. They just lost their loved one. They're grieving, right? You can say whatever you want to me. Go ahead and tell me that I'm a jerk for saying that. You know, maybe someday we'll sit down and understand that wasn't quite right, but right now I'm just going to back away. You don't criticize a person's grieving. They are grieving in the way that, and these people who are good people, who are really good people, who really love Jesus and love them still. I love them so much. I you know, it's so crazy. It's like the lady that gave me the Christmas card back in the day when we were starting the second service, and she's so angry. And she said, "Merry Christmas, you know, good news of great tidings." And she, I opened it up, and it's, "Pastor Tom, you are the worst thing that's ever happened to this church. You need to leave. Have a happy new year." Yeah, you could take that personally, right? Is she talking to me, Pastor Tom? And you know what? When I went and saw her in the hospital before she died, and she was my age, and this was probably 10, 15 years ago, I have felt nothing but love for her. And I knew that she felt nothing but love for me. But she was grieving the loss of something that connected her to God and that she had grown up with and that meant everything to her. And she was shouting it out, whether it was through a Christmas card or whatever people say. If they have to say the anointing left, if they have to say, you know, Pastor Tom's not doing it, whatever they're saying, they're grieving, let them say it. Give them that. Let's, as a church body, give these good, gracious Christian people their expressions and not be personally wounded or personally rejected, but just say, people are doing what they need to do, and they deserve that. They deserve that. We have to give them that. Like, really, you guys, really. That's something we just have to let go of. Yes, we've changed. Yes, people left. Yes, they said things on the way out, but they were grieving. Let them. Bless them. And know that those people have gone on to serve Jesus in wonderful ways. They've stayed connected. They didn't lose their faith. Hallelujah, right? The church hasn't suffered. And now there's room for the new ones. Because God said, look, I'm doing a new thing. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? That's, and he's saying, you need to let go of that. You need to let go of that. You need to move on. You need to forgive. That are people who I love, who love me, who are going after me, felt that I wasn't there, went to where they could find me. Were they wrong or were they right? I don't know. Paul or Barnabas, I don't know. Okay? All I know is that I have to do what I feel God is asking me to do and to lead in the direction that I feel he's going. And that's what we've done. But we bless one another so that at the end of Paul's life, he's in prison against a slimy wall in a dirty prison cell, chained up, and he has no one around him. The only person with him is Luke, and he's writing a letter to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, please come and bring my cloak, the parchments, and please bring Mark, because he is so useful to me in my ministry. The same Mark that he said isn't coming with us is now the one he's asking for towards the end of his life in a prison cell as a comfort and a help to his ministry. The same one who went on to be close to Peter and write a gospel about the life of Jesus. Would Mark still be in the race if Barnabas hadn't put his arm around him and said, look, I know you blew it. I know you went home, but you're still in it. You're still, come on, you come with me. You know, he's hurt. Don't be offended by Paul. Come with me. Now, maybe Mark needed the discipline of the apostle Paul, but he needed the compassion and pastoral care of the shepherd. Right? So look what happened. We, as the Church of Jesus, are more than just Bradley Epworth. We are a part of a church that extends throughout the city and meets in many different places, in many different varieties, in many different ways, and we cannot afford to cut off someone that we might have been offended by, because in the later days, or in any kind of day, or in whatever God's going to do in this city, or however things turn out, we will need them, and they will need us, and we will not We will not have the baggage of unforgiveness keeping us from embracing and loving and contending for Jesus together for the sake of the world. So we got to let it go. We got to lay it down. Any offense in our lives is going to work against us. And that can be personal. That could be from someone who's passed away. That can be from someone who's in this room right now who has offended you. Could be your spouse. And as a church body, we need to be able to let go of anything that we were to think that we are something less. We're not. We are Bible-based, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled. We were, we are, we always will be. And whatever that looks like is up to God. But this is what we maintain. We maintain the book. It's our book. We live by the book. We love by the book. And Jesus is the glorious passion of our lives. And everything we do is by the power of God and not us. And let's just see what God does with that, friends. Let's just see what God does with that. Let's see what God does with us. Let's see what the new thing is. Let's let go of the past. Let's let go of offense. Let's think highly of one another. Let's think kindly of one another. Let's think the most. And let's give people their place of grieving. Okay? Yeah, it hurts. But they're grieving. Let it go.